ॐ वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. We have been seeing in the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is the creator, he is the sustainer, as well he is the destroyer. He said something very interesting, that taking the help of my nature, Prakruti. Prakruti in Puranic language is called Brahma. And Brahma also in Upanishads, also in the Mundaka Upanishad, we have seen Brahma is the first created one, and Brahma is the creator. And he propagated this Brahma Vidya to everybody. So, Maya, Prakruti, Brahma, all these are synonymous words. So, Prakrutim Swam Avastabhya, Visrujami Punah Punaha, Bhutagramam Evam Krishnam, Avasham Prakrutir Vashat. Controlling my own Prakruti, I send forth again and again all this multitude of beings helpless under the sway of Maya. This was the verse we have been seeing in our last class, that I create everything, I maintain everything, and I also destroy, or I am the dissoluter. I am the person who brings back everything. How many times? Once? Twice? No. Punaha, punaha means again and again, meaning eternally. This srishti is anadi. That's why if someone asks you the question, when did creation start? Don't answer at such and such a time. Because time itself is a creation. Along with the creation, time also is created, space also is created, and causation is also created. Before creation, there was no time. When there is no time, then it is silly to ask when did the creation start. It is eternal, coexistent with the Lord. The Lord is also beginningless. This creation is also beginningless. The Lord is endless. Whatever has no beginning will have no end. So this creation has no beginning, therefore it also will not have any end. I also explained the enigma of this. If there is no end to creation, then what is going to happen to my mukti? If I get mukti, is it going to be temporary? And again I will be created. So for that Swami Vivekananda gives a beautiful analogy. There is a very beautiful plaything called Ferris wheel, and there will be so many boxes shaped like a horse or human being or a bird, etc. Children, of course, adults are also children. They sit in that and it takes one very high. It goes one circle and comes down, and the passengers get out. New passengers go. So these bodies, these minds, they are like that boxes in the Ferris wheel. New passengers come. That means when a jiva, through completion of a circle, attains mukti, that person gets out, he had his fun, and he goes out. But remember, everybody had to pay heavily for sitting in that box and coming down. So this process happens, everybody gets mukti, and once a person gets mukti, he gets out. But this cycle continues for new souls. That is the explanation. It is, Srishti is not really anadi from the individual point of view. Just as a passenger at a particular point of view gets into the box, and at another particular point of view, point of time, gets out. So also the Ferris wheel goes on round and round and round. That can be compared to the anadi, whereas the soul getting into that box at a particular time, we don't know, we don't remember, but at a particular time, that soul individual gets out and again doesn't enter. That is the final. That is the answer Swami Vivekananda had given. The Lord is telling that taking hold of my own power, Shakti, called Prakruti, called Maya, called Shakti, called Trigunas, Visrujami Punah Punaha. I go on creating. Creating means what? Creating means creating, maintaining, and also dissolving everything back. This Brahma Chakra continues for eternity. And what does he create? Imam Bhuta Gramam, Imam Krishnam Bhuta Gramam. Imam, all this visible, invisible, experienceable worlds, not only our world, 14 lokas, Bhuhu Bhuvah Svaha, Krishnam means entire creation, and Bhuta Gramam, all beings, living, non-living, with life, without life, these mountains, the rivers, the earth, everything of this, Avasham, they do not have any say in that creation, because it is my leela, prakruteha vasha. They are all under the sway of my prakruti and maya. Just to note down, here prakruti is used twice, at the beginning, almost at the end. That means, helplessly we are created, helplessly we are maintained, helplessly we are taken out, and we do sadhana helplessly, so nobody can say, I don't believe in God, and so I will never do spiritual sadhana. Just as you are not born with your will, you are born helplessly to your parents, whether you like them or not, to the society and to the circumstances you like them or not. So also, when you die helplessly. So also, you will start spiritual practice helplessly, and one day you will attain to your own nature helplessly. Helplessly means by the will of God. Shakali tomari ichha, ichha moyi tara tumi. Tomar karma, karma means here, srishti sthiti vinashanam, shakti bhute sanatani. Tomar karma tumi koroma, loke bole ami kori. For some time, we go on feeling, I am the doer, I am the creator, but after some time you will understand that we have limited freedom, and we have to use that freedom, and for some time we suffer, but afterwards we do not suffer. Everyone is born helplessly, does undergo worldly experiences helplessly, and becomes a spiritual practitioner helplessly, because we are all standing on this escalator called evolution or spiritual journey. And one day we will all attain to that state. That great fact has been so beautifully put by Holy Mother. Nobody goes without food. Some intelligent ones, they get early in the morning, and the least to be one of them, they will get at least at midnight. It doesn't mean some are lucky or some are unlucky. Those who have done lot of sadhana earlier, those who entered into this Ferris wheel box earlier, they have suffered, they have awakened, and they do spiritual practice. In this life, we see only this body, this mind, but they are carrying with them infinite number of past samskaras, both spiritual and worldly. They have become purified. They attain early mukti. That is the meaning of getting food early in the morning. And we are also, other people also, will get our own food. Food here means liberation, and this fun goes on. That's why it is called Brahma Chakra, not Maya Chakra. Brahma Chakra means Brahman's Leela. And because it is Brahma Leela, who is the participant? Brahman. Who is the writer of the script? Brahman. Who is the director? Brahman. Who is the player? Brahman. Who is the audience? Brahman. What is the stage? Brahman. Hard to understand, but just as we create our own dream and wake up from that dream, so also the Lord seemingly creates His own dreams, and His own dreams is what we call we. Only sometimes we feel this cat and mouse play is fine for the cat, but not for the mouse. Somehow we feel we are that mice, and we are terribly frightened. But nothing to worry, the Lord will Himself liberate us or Himself sooner or later. So the question that naturally comes is, you are the doer, you are the actor, so should you not be the enjoyer? No. What is it telling? Nachamam tani karmani nivadnanti dhananjaya. Those actions, that means srishti, sthiti and laya, creation, preservation and dissolution, O Arjuna, do not bind me. How come they do not bind you? I gave an example yesterday. The sun is shining. In that sunlight, so many myriads of activities by infinite number of creatures are going on. But the sun has nothing to do with it. That is called Udasina. Completely indifferent means that he is a Nitya Sakshi. He is only an eternal witness, but nothing really affects an witness. The example given also is very beautiful. Earlier he has given that when the air moves in the space, the air carries good and bad smells, heat and cold, but the space is not affected. Not only is the space affected, even the air also is not affected. Air only carries, but not a little bit of it attaches itself to the air. Similar way, the Lord does it like our daydream, but nothing really affects him. Because really if something affects, it means that thing changes. But God is nirvikara, changeless, is timeless. Any change means something happens within time. Some earlier it was okay, now it is contaminated or something else came and attached itself to it. So this stain will not be there. That's why it is called Niranjana. Niranjana means timelessness. God is really timeless. The Srishti is within time. This time is born along with the Srishti. It is part of the Srishti at all. So that is the meaning of Udasinavat Asinaha Asaktam Teshu Karmasu. Absolutely, I am not attached to anything. And I am completely indifferent. Means I am a Sakshi, just a witness. Now, what is the meaning of asaktam means what? Sakta means attachment. Whenever we examine certain attitudes, we either get attached or we become completely liberated. That without any attachment. If we analyze those two, we find that certain unfulfilled desires get fulfilled through some objects. So we become attached to them. And some other objects bring more suffering, make us fall from a state of peace and happiness, and we become completely averse to them. That means we are totally dependent for our happiness or unhappiness. But the Divine Lord, He is of the nature of pure bliss for eternity, and therefore there is no need for Him to depend upon anything, first of all. Secondly, even if He wants to depend, there is no second object other than God. Therefore, it is impossible for Him to become dependent. That means He will not have any attachment. That is the meaning of this verse, that no karma phala binds me. It is just a pleasure. But you can also ask something, that why does the Lord then want to play? Usually when we play, that is because that we are not happy. We are bored. So to kill time, we want to play. Playing is killing time. Playing is for enjoyment. Does the Divine Lord lack any ananda? He doesn't, because He is of the nature of ananda. Therefore, He can never be separated from happiness, unlike we think we are separate from happiness. So when the nature of the Lord is ananda swarupa, of the nature of infinite and pure Brahmananda, there is no need. Then why does the Lord create? Why does He want to create? So many points have to be understood in this respect. First of all, when we say God created, there must be a purpose. There is no purpose. Okay, if there is no real purpose, purely for entertainment, does He do? Entertainment means we are not happy, we want to become happy. Does the God go through such a condition? No, He doesn't go through that condition at all. Then what is the meaning of this? That's why it is called Leela. Leela means it seemingly appears to be something, but the real meaning of it we do not understand. That is called Leela. So we can only say it is your Maya, it is your Leela. By the way, in Sanskrit, Maya and Leela, both words are used synonymously. So it is Maya. Then what is the way? No way, you cannot understand it. The finite can never understand the infinite. So the limited can never understand the unlimited. So the only way, become the infinite, become the unlimited. And once you attain to that state, then what happens? The questions do not arise at all. You go beyond Maya, then there is no Maya at all. There is not even the faintest past memory at all. That is one of the greatest mysteries of life. So, the Lord is telling, Prakriti, under my guidance, gives birth to all things, moving as well as unmoving. And because of this, O son of Kunti, a world revolves. Revolves means goes round and round and round. How much time? For eternity. Is there anything that can stop it? Absolutely no. Then am I forever stuck? No. You can get out of it, but the Prakriti goes on revolving. That is why it is called Brahma Chakra. Then the Lord is telling something very important. Coming back, whenever mankind forgets that it is the inheritance of divinity, everyone is an Amruta Putra, but we forget that fact. Each soul is potentially divine. The Lord incarnates as a human being to make us awaken, to awaken all of us and to pass on that knowledge. My children, you have forgotten and you are really divine. So please wake up. Uttishtata, Jagrata. So he assumes a human form. And it is very difficult to understand that the great Lord himself, God himself, as is in this human body, that is what he is going to tell us. This is about people who are impure, who are not spiritual, who are totally immersed in this samsara and who do not see anything beyond their nose and who do not accept there is a higher power. Even they do not accept that your whole life, my friend, is nothing but you're like a straw being carried in a powerful tsunami wind. But they are not ready to accept because they are full of that terrible egotism and that is called Mada and they are full of Matsarya. Kama, Krodha, Lobha, Moha, Mada and Matsarya rule these people completely. But let us not forget what I mentioned earlier that is also God's Leela. Who created a demon? It is God only. Who created a Deva? It is God only. But he doesn't let us know. He makes us feel that I have worked hard and I have earned lot of merit. I have become a Deva. And similarly, a Rakshasa feels I have done lot of tapasya. I obtained a boon. I became very strong. So in other ways, I went to the university. I obtained this knowledge. I discovered this new invention. And I want to get all the money, profit, squeeze as much as possible. It is my right. And all these things happen again by the will of God. Very hard to understand and accept. Even if our intellect understands, our problem is we do not seem to be able to accept it. And even when honesty of intelligence forces us to admit that we are helpless, this whole world must be the Leela of God. But what happens even then that we are reluctant to put it into practice. That is why we know only how to complain, but we do not use the invaluable opportunities God gives us. So the Lord is telling, Avajananti maam moodhaha manushim tanumashritam param bhavam ajanantaha mama bhuta maheshwaram. Fools disregard me when I assume a human form, for they are unaware of my higher nature as the Supreme Lord of all beings. They disregard me as an ordinary human being. Moodaha, the Lord calls them. Moodaha means devoid of even common sense. What do these moodas, fools, that means ignorant people, what do they do? Manushin tanum ashritam mam. I, who had been dwelling in this deliberately, not because of my purva janma karma phala, but out of compassion, I assume a human form. Why human form? Because human beings cannot learn from an animal. We can learn, like the Avadhuta learned from 24 gurus. So if we open our eyes, every nook, every brook, every petal of a flower can teach infinite wisdom, but we are not open to it. So these fools, they only see a frail human body. And what do? Avajananti. They insult us. Maam manushim tanum ashritam. Why do they insult me? Because they are ignorant. Ignorant of what? Mama, பரம்பாவம் அஜானந்தஹ மமா மை பரம்பாவம் சுப்ரீம் நேச்சர் தி மோஸ்ட் மார்வலஸ் சுப்ரீம் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் மைண்ட் அஜானந்தஹ நாட் ஏபிள் டு அண்டர்ஸ்டாண்ட் அண்ட் வாட் இஸ் தட் சுப்ரீம் நேச்சர் ஆஃப் மைண்ட் பூத மகேஸ்வரம் மகேஸ்வரம் ஐ எம் தி லார்ட் லார்ட் ஆஃப் வாட் பூதா everything that is created good people bad people inert things things with life the whole entire creation I am even the creator of brahma vishnu and maheshwara unable to understand that I am the cause of everybody in fact I am the cause of these foolish people in fact whom you consider your mother and father they are none other than my own self manifesting as your father and mother this inability to understand naturally they act only according to their knowledge avajananti shishupala and how dantavakra they hated sri krishna how much this insults were heaped on sri krishna by shishupala in fact the mahabharata story tells us this shishupala went on insulting actually krishna was one of their closest relatives so krishna was capable shishupala's mother she knew the greatness of krishna and he was his close relative I think cousin or somebody so she begs krishna I know what you are but I am also pulled by the power of my this is my son however foolish however cruel after all I am the mother of this person you please forgive him whenever he insults you because you can destroy him at any time and krishna tells us all right I will tolerate him 100 times but as soon as that limit is reached I am going to destroy him so what happened we all know that after the performance of a rajasuya yagna yudhishthira has successfully concluded it and it is part of the ritual that a great person he has to be honored his feet have to be washed and everybody excepting a few people that is Shishupala and his cronies excepting them everybody unanimously agreed Sri Krishna is the only worthy person and Yudhishthira and all the Pandavas went and washed his feet and drank the water padodaka which we call tirtha and in Bengali it is called charana amrita charana amrita but this Shishupala could not he goes on abusing have you not found a more worthy person and that was he had exceeded reached his limit of 100 times criticizing Sri Krishna and Sri Krishna calls his chakra and with that he cuts off the head of Shishupala but when God himself destroys somebody what can light destroy darkness what can jnana destroy only ignorance what can Sri Krishna destroy only ignorance and then a beautiful light comes out of Shishupala is metaphorical and becomes one with the light of Bhagavan Sri Krishna this is a beautiful tale to tell that even when some people insult the divine lord who is actually responsible that is why there is a saying Duryodhana his thighs were broken he was lying in the battlefield till today I am unable to comprehend this scene that he is called Rajadi Raja, Raraja. And supposing he has been made to fall down, but there, what happens to people? Everybody abandoned him, his servants, his wives, his friends, his relatives. Everybody abandons him. Should they not at least take him into the camp, cot, and put him on the cot and do their best until the prana departs his soul? But somehow he has been left with jackals and dogs and wild creatures all surrounding him. Anyway, I cannot understand it. Somebody went and asked him, it seems. I don't know how this person also is stupid enough when a person is dying to go on poking him. So he went, Duryodhana, you are a very wise person. You knew before the war started that this is going to be your fate. And then why is it that you did not act wisely? Then it seems, he said, what can I do? This Bhagavan sits in my heart and makes me speak, makes me act, makes me behave, makes me talk, everything according to his will. Where is my power? Also, he also seems to say, I know what is dharma. Janami dharmam nachame pravrutti. I know dharma. Absolutely no inclination to practice dharma. Janami adharmam. I also know what is adharma, but I have absolutely no inclination to refrain from it, as if there is a power that is forcing me to do it. And such is the greatest truth he had uttered. Ishvara sarvabhutanam riddeshe arjuna tishtati brahmayan sarvabhutani yantra rudhani mayaya. The Lord Ishvara sitting as the puppeteer inside the heart of every creature, inside the even COVID virus, inside the mosquito, inside the elephant, inside the tiger, inside the deer, inside man, woman, inside everyone, Brahmayan goes on revolving everybody, Yantra Rudhani Maya, like a puppeteer, he goes on playing with the puppets, make them fight with each other and make them feel happy or unhappy. Everything that is going on is none other than the will of the Divine Mother. This is a glimpse of the meaning we get when we contemplate and sing that most marvelous bhajan, Shakali Tomari Icha Kare Dauma Brahma Padu. You elevate somebody to the position of Brahma, the Supreme Creator. But the same person, if he is not devoted to you, or even if he is devoted to you because it is your Leela, Karo Koroma Adhogami, you make such person, same person, as in the case of Totapuri Maharaj, who could enter at will into Nirvikalpa Samadhi. He could not meditate even for a few seconds. He thought mistakenly, again because of the Maya of the Divine Lord, that the body is the obstruction. If there were to be no body, I will be very happily meditating. Then he was also taught a good lesson. He thought he wanted to give up his body. He thought it was his body. He thought he could do whatever he likes with it. And surprise of the surprises, there was not enough water in that huge Ganges where huge ships sink, even to drown one single human body, even though it is slightly bigger. Anyway, that is also Daivi Maya. That is also Mother's grace. She taught him the lesson, my son, surrender yourself to me. You refuse to come to my temple at Dakshineswar. You refuse to bow down to me. It is all your improvements, all your progress is solely due to me. It is my grace that made you overcome all the spiritual obstructions, but you have failed to understand. Through this very painful experience, Totapuri Maharaj understood Shakali Tomari Icha, and then he came back the same way he went. And then next morning, for the first time in his life, he went and bowed down before the Divine Mother, and the Mother smiled as if he could see, you wanted to go 11 months back, but now I kept you for this purpose only. Your life has become blessed. Now you be a great blessing to everybody so long as you live. And she blessed him with that he could live, and of course taking leave of the Ramakrishna. Now there is a sequel to it. This Totapuri had lived many, many years afterwards. Some people say he even lived to up till 120 years, many years, and he never forgot his most devoted disciple Sri Ramakrishna. We don't know whether he taught Sri Ramakrishna's teaching, but my guess is Sri Ramakrishna had brainwashed him enough, injected him with his own Sarvadharma Samanvaya ideas, and whosoever came to this great soul, he must have passed on that knowledge. He himself had several other sannyasin disciples also, and there was one brother disciple called Chameli Puri, whom Holy Mother had seen, and she praised and said, after seeing Chameli Puri in Varanasi, when someone suggested, Mother, there are many other sadhus, why don't we go and have their darshana? And Holy Mother replied so pithily. He said, we have seen Chameli Puri. We do not need to see anybody. This is one of the greatest souls. So, I do not know whether she had also seen Trailinga Swami and Bhaskarananda Swami, they have seen. See, what is the idea we are discussing? That the Divine Lord says that if he takes birth as a human being, very few people can recognize him. In fact, when we study the history of the avatars, whether it is Rama was insulted, Rama was so many people blamed him as a spineless, worthless fellow. That's why he was forced to give up Sita. And who could undergo such a great tragedy? The Ravanasura kidnapped the divine Lord's wife herself, Mahamaya, Sita. Sri Krishna, even devotees blame him, of course, lovingly. Oh Lord, you are one of my most beloved Jaras, means lecherous fellow. And Chora, you are the greatest thief. In fact, in the Rudra, Namaka and Chamaka, Shiva, one of the title is that Sthenanam Pataye Namaha. He is the emperor of all thieves. Why is that such a epithet given by Hindus? Because any ordinary thief can only steal a few material things. But this great thief, he steals your very heart. And what can you do afterwards? You are forever bound, become his slave. Of course, it is the most blessed state to be enslaved by the divine Lord, means to become the divine itself. So Krishna was blamed by his enemies. Endless troubles. In the end, as we know, Jarasandha had declared war against Krishna 17 times, and it was too much for Krishna, and baggage, he had to pack up and move from Mathura to Dwaraka. So, did anybody, how many people recognize this fact Sri Ramakrishna was trying to tell us in through the guise of a beautiful incident in Mahabharata? After the Kurukshetra war was over, when Yudhishthira was grieving for all the so-called causing the deaths of so many people, then Sri Krishna said that Bhishma is about to give up his body, Uttarayana is approaching, northern course of the sun is coming, that is the most auspicious time, about which we discussed so nicely in the Bhagavad Gita itself in the last chapter. So, you better hurry there and learn, because with the passing away of Bhishma, all the knowledge will totally disappear. So, Yudhishthira goes there, and this incident I did not find in the Mahabharata, but Sri Ramakrishna must have read it in a local rendering of Mahabharata. So, seeing Krishna, along with the Pandavas, Bhishma started shedding profuse tears. Pandavas were surprised. They addressed Krishna, "Krishna, what is this? Your grandfather is the mine of wisdom, encyclopedia, and he knows everything. And he never reacted this way before. But he is shedding tears. Is he afraid of death?" Then Hare Krishna smiles and says, "Why don't you ask Bhishma himself?" And they asked, it seems. And Bhishma replied, "I am not frightened of death. I am shedding tears because I know Krishna as one Bhagavan Swayam. And this Bhagavan is with you, O Pandavas, from your very birth, protecting you, shielding you, guiding you. And yet, I see no end of your suffering. And I cannot understand this Daivi Maya. That is why I am shedding tears." Now they understood that the inscrutability of the Divine Lord's actions. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord categorically states such marvelous verses you will never get in any other scripture, I guarantee you. Janma karma cha me divyam, yo veti tatvatah, tyaktva deham punarjanma, naiti mameti, so Arjuna. My birth and all that I do in this life as an avatar, janma karma cha me divyam, they are divine. Deeply covered with divine mystery. It is not possible for ordinary people to understand. Sri Ramakrishna refers, this Krishna, just one day, he lifted his small finger, and with that finger, the entire Govardhana hill was kept for 7 days and nights. Avalila, we call it. As if he was just holding a smallest straw. If you hold a small straw on your small finger, no discomfort is ever caused by it. As if the whole hill is nothing but a balloon filled with air. There is no weight at all. For 7 days and nights he protected the entire netizens of that Gokula. And yet when his father one day asked him, "My darling Krishna, will you please bring my chappal, which is weighing only a few grams?" He said, "Baba, they are too heavy for me. I cannot carry them. This is called divine mystery. So, not to speak of divine incarnations. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, how much was criticized? How much Buddha was criticized? How many attempts were made to kill him? How many attempts were made to kill Krishna? Then what about Jesus? He was completely crucified. By whom? By his own fellow priests, rabbis. And every incarnation had to go through all those suffering. Do we understand acharyas? Every acharya, even Ramanuja acharya's own acharya, unable to understand Ramanuja, he plotted to do away with him in the guise of going on a pilgrimage. We get these incidents terribly. It is also said there was that great soul Swami Dayananda Saraswati who founded the Arya Samaj, that he was poisoned in the end because he was bold enough to criticize a king for his immoral behavior. Then Swami Vivekananda, how many troubles he had gone through. How many people understood Swami Vivekananda in the West? How many people understood him even in India? Most of his critics were Brahmo Samaj people, including this Pratap Chandra Majumdar, who blackened him with such slurs. There's so many unimaginable, he's having immoral relationship with women, etc. And even there was attempt to kill him, do away Swami Vivekananda. Of course, when we come to Holy Mother, how many people criticized her, including her own, who were to be her eternal companions, Golapma, how much she criticized, how much pain she had given. She had to run to Sriram Krishna and said, is it true that you criticized me like this? Because I was wearing, Sriram Krishna never knew. We know that incident. He called Golapma and scolded so strongly, she turned into jelly, started shedding tears and ran immediately and apologized to Holy Mother. But it is a fact how much they troubled the villagers, how much they criticized Holy Mother, making fun of her, not only behind her back, in front of her. Sri Ramakrishna, how many people understood Sri Ramakrishna? Even they suspected him of being glutton. Yogananda Swami suspected him that this man is teaching Kama Kanchana Tyaga daytime, night time he is secretly visiting his own wife. When we recollect all these incidents, what wonder is there the Lord is telling that there are people unable to recognize my greatness. How much they torture me. Fools disregard me when I assume a human form, for they are unaware of my higher nature as the Supreme Lord of all this creation. But what is the consolation? O Lord, that everything is your will, and if I am not able to recognize you, the entire onus is upon you. Had you only given me a little bit of right understanding, then I would have worshipped you. But unfortunately, you covered me with your maya. So who is responsible for my misery? You are squarely responsible for my misery. Ultimately, the Divine Lord alone is responsible, because if it is entirely the will of God, good or bad, is only He assumes the responsibility. Anyway, many times I made fun of an avatara. Many devotees consider the Lord descending as an avatara, as an act of infinite grace. I say, what is this infinite grace? Who created this mess? You created. And who has to clean up this mess? Squarely, your own self, you have to clean it up. Had you only given a little bit of that understanding, then I would have been adoring you, not only in this life, but janma janmantara. So the Lord is telling, as the creation continues, there are some people, very few people, who recognize me that I am an avatara. Most people, of course, they are indifferent what happens, as we are indifferent to many things in this life. But there are a few people endowed with that right knowledge who adore me. That is what he is going to talk shortly. But here he is telling that there are some people who cannot recognize me and refuse to recognize me, and they will have to be in this condition for some time. In this context, I also have to add, we are also insulting Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda. We are also insulting every incarnation of God, God Himself. How come? We are devotees of God. We believe in God and we are praying to Him. We are doing japam, etc. to Him. How are we insulting? By knowing, by accepting that God exists, He is everywhere, He is looking at me. Is it not an insult to God? If I think a wrong thought, if I utter a wrong word, if I do a wrong deed, while at the same time we are having double faces, with one mouth we are saying, O God, You are here, seeing everything that I do, and even witnessing to my thoughts, and yet, how dare I do all these wrong things that are going on? We are not ashamed of it. Of course, we don't call we are criticizing God. We say we are weak people. But it is nevertheless an insult to God. Supposing there is a gentleman and he is highly respected by everybody and you just piss or do some dirty thing in front of him. Is it not a terrible insult to that person? And proclaiming openly, I believe in God. I am clinging to these puny things, my money, my honor, my family, and my happiness, I am my selfishness, clinging wholeheartedly as if this is the whole of God that I believe in. It is a terrible insult, but we are blissfully unaware. We are only thinking other people insult God, but we are not insulting God. It is a terrible insult to God. Without acknowledging His presence and doing whatever we like. Then who is it that really honors the Lord? It is that person who gives up all selfishness, who is endowed with tremendous discrimination, who tries to see only good and who tries to do only good to everybody, think good of others, speak good of others, do good to others. Shiva Jnane Jiva Seva, such a person alone is a person who is a true devotee of God. Of course, what I am talking is a great ideal. But we have to be aware of it. We have to acknowledge it. And we have to be careful not to think any evil thought. We should be careful not to speak something which hurts other people. And we should be extremely careful, of course, not to do anything that can injure anybody. Whatever is happening in this world, do not blame. Do not blame China. Do not blame Pakistan. Do not blame America. Do not blame anybody because it is the divine will. If it is the divine will, that means we deserve it. If it is the divine will, it means there is a good purpose because divine will always is there to purge of our impurities and to bring about the greatest good that we can never even think of in our imaginations. So that attitude to be aware and not to harm anybody, that is called ahimsa, that is called asteya, that is called aparigraha. So why do these people do that? Because their whole life, their thinking, their talking, and their doing, and their motivations, their hopes, expectations, their goals in life, everything is concerned with only vain things. Vain things means worldly things. Worldly things means purely selfish things. This is being beautifully said in this next verse. Mogasha moha karmano moha gnana vichetasa rakshasim asurim chaiva prakrutim mohinim shritaha. Being of the deceitful nature of fiends and demons, they cherish vain hopes, perform vain actions, pursue vain knowledge, and are devoid of judgment. All these people who insult the Lord. Here is the answer. What is the answer? Even if somebody, he is a wicked person, but he doesn't insult the Lord, he doesn't think about the Lord, he doesn't even speak about the Lord, he doesn't of course do anything against the Lord. That's not the concern at all. And what is it? If their lifestyle is of this nature, what is that nature? Mogha Asha. All their expectations, hopes are anything but undivine, non-divine. Mogha karmano. Whatever they do, it is nothing but deeds perpetuating their life in the samsara sagara, which brings them to birth again and again, where they undergo endless sufferings. And mogha jnana. Why do they do that? Because their knowledge is vain knowledge, non-divine knowledge, worldly knowledge, material knowledge. And as a result, vichetasaha. They lose complete discrimination. So, such type of people are called Rakshasim Asurim Jeva. They are of the nature of Rakshasas, demons. Asuris, there are people. Asuri means completely worldly people, devoted only to the fulfillment of their objects of sense objects, their senses completely merged in the sense objects and do not think anything else. But why do they do that? Prakrutim Mohinim Shrita. Prakrutim Mohinim Shrita. They are completely mesmerized by Maya, what Sri Ramakrishna calls Avidya Maya. Mohini. What is this Mohini? That is a mesmerizing power of the Divine Lord. And they are under the sway of this Mohini. Their nature is of the Mohini. They are completely mesmerized by this Avidya Maya. And that is why their thinking, their goals, their expectations and hopes, and all their talks and all their actions are of the nature of Asuri Prakruti, which the Lord elaborately describes in the 16th chapter, both about the Mahatmas, which he is going to speak in the next verse, as well as these Asuri Prakruti people. So if some people incapable of recognizing the Lord is because they are completely mesmerized or deluded by this deluding power of Mahamaya called this Tamasika Prakruti. And so they are called demons, they are called wicked people, they are called sinful people. So their entire lifestyle is completely soaked in vain hopes, vain thoughts, vain expectations, etc. And that is naturally, they do not recognize the opposite nature, which is a spiritual nature, and an incarnation is an embodiment of such purity, such divinity, such spirituality, and all because of this particular nature. There are people, and it's a fact of life, such people, but there are also very great spiritual people. The Lord is describing, O Arjuna, now you recognize and analyze yourself, whether you are belonging to the divine beings or to this demonic people. If you belong to the demonic people, then slowly convert your life so that you will also gain, slowly progress, change your nature, become into divine nature, Mahatmanaha, that is what he calls, and slowly you will come nearer to me, you become blessed by knowing me, by attaining me, and the life's true purpose, moksha, is fulfilled. These beautiful ideas we will discuss in our next class, next Saturday. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Muhur Muhur.